Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Mo's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on this beautiful Monday in Oklahoma. It's just a really nice day, about, 70 degrees outside, so definitely enjoying the weather. It was a little cool this morning, but definitely a nice today, so definitely enjoying the weather. Might have a lot of rain this week, but anyway, I had a good weekend, and now I'm ready to talk sports with you. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. That's MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at TheDukeBoy100. That's at TheDukeBoy100. You can also like my Facebook page. Just put in Mo Sports Talk in the search, and you can like my Facebook page. The show is also, you can also listen to me on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. That's TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. So those are the ways you can listen to my show. I believe the show is also available on iTunes as well. But we have a big show planned for you today. We're going to talk a lot of college basketball. We're going to talk about the games that took place on Friday. In the Sweet 16, we'll talk about all the Elite Eight games that took place this weekend. We'll also talk some NBA. Before we do that, we can talk some other college basketball news and notes. Archie Miller has been hired as the new coach of Indiana. I think that's a nice hire. He did a great job at Dayton, led them to an Elite Eight 1 year, I believe. He did into the tournament all his years, I believe, the last at least 5 or 6 years, however long. He's done a great job at Dayton, to sum it up. So I think that's a nice hire. I know he's not an Indiana guy, but I think he's going to do a really good job for the Hoosiers. So I'm sure some Indiana people aren't happy they didn't hire an Indiana guy, but Steve Alford wanted to stay at UCLA, and you can't blame him. He has a great recruiting class coming in, and it's California, so he didn't want to come back home. So I think Archie Miller is going to do a good job with Indiana. So we shall wait and see. Also, we can talk some NFL news. Still waiting to see where Adrian Peterson and Tony Romo are going to end up. Still waiting for that. No word yet, so we shall wait and see. But the Raiders, they are going to move to Vegas. It's official. The owners voted by a count of 31-1. The only owner that voted against the move from Oakland to Vegas was the Miami Dolphins owner. So, but it's going to be odd, because the Oakland Raiders are going to be staying in Oakland for two more seasons. So they're not moving to Vegas until 2019. So that's still a long ways off. So that's going to be kind of odd, them playing. And they're going to have a really good team, obviously, if they stay healthy with Derek Carr. So that's going to be odd. But you feel bad for the people of Oakland, but you had a couple of years to get a deal done for a new stadium, and you didn't get it done. And that new stadium that Vegas is planning, oh my, it's going to be nice. So I wonder if they're going to still be called the Vegas Raiders. So that'll be interesting. So we can talk about that as well. But let's shift gears and let's talk some college basketball. By the way, my picks are just awful, just awful, awful picks. But let's talk about the Sweet 16 games. A couple of games that took place on Friday night in the Sweet 16. Kentucky, they whipped UCLA, beat them 86-75. De'Aaron Fox, he was big time. He scored 39 points. He had threes. He got to the basket. He played really well. Malik Monk had 21. Kentucky shot 49% from the field. They hit 10 of 23 threes. Only 6 turnovers as well. You can see the defensive improvement from Kentucky. You saw it again on Sunday. We'll talk about that in a minute against North Carolina. Isaac Hamilton for UCLA scored 17. T.J. Leaf had 17 points and 7 rebounds. Lonzo Ball, he only scored 10 points on 4 of 10 shooting. Did have 8 assists. Just wasn't aggressive enough, in my opinion. De'Aaron Fox really outplayed him. He was up for the challenge. Yeah, I guess he was tired of hearing about how good Lonzo Ball is, and he put it to him. And it wasn't just Lonzo Ball who was getting scored on. Lonzo Ball's defense was pretty good, but they definitely struggled to stop pick and roll. That was definitely an issue for UCLA, stopped defending against pick and roll, and they were picked apart. Kentucky got anything they wanted to offensively. UCLA did shoot 53% from the field, but they had 13 turnovers as well. So all their shots, UCLA never really got into rhythm, and all their shots were tough and contested. Give Kentucky credit. They definitely improved throughout the season because they really struggled throughout the season defending. But towards the end of the season, they got a lot better, and it showed in that matchup against UCLA. So if you had told me Kentucky would hold UCLA to just 75 points, I would say no way. I would have said no way, and I would say, well, Kentucky would win, and that's what happens. So give credit to Kentucky getting the job done, beating UCLA. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Also on Friday, Florida, they beat Wisconsin at the buzzer 84-83 in overtime. Kayvon Allen, he scored 39 points. Chris Chihoza, he scored 8 points with a game-winning three at the buzzer. You know, a lot of people complain about this tournament that we didn't have any overtime games, we didn't have any buzzer beaters. Well, you got them this weekend, and you got them starting on Friday night. You got at least one overtime game. What a big-time shot by Chris Chihoza. You would like to see Wisconsin play a little better defense than that. He had a really good look. You like to at least contest that shot. I know he's fast, but you got to at least contest that shot. But that was a big-time shot by him. Well, Wisconsin, they were down by 12, about 4 minutes and 15 seconds left to go in the game. They came back to send the game into overtime. What a shot by Showalter, I believe his name is. Yeah, that was a big-time shot by Zach Showalter. And then when he did the double check to Aaron Rodgers, I wish that had been the game winner. Not just because I picked Wisconsin to win that game, but that would have been tight. If he would have won the game doing that discount double check to Aaron Rodgers, that would have been really tight. But all five starters for Wisconsin, like I said, scored in double figures. Nigel Hayes had 22 points and 6 rebounds. Ethan Happ had 21. They shot 51% from the field at Wisconsin, but they missed 10 free throws, and they struggled to hit free throws all season long. Also, they had 16 turnovers as well, so that was an issue for Wisconsin. And they were outscored in bench points 20-3, so Florida moved on to the Elite Eight. So a really nice season for Wisconsin, getting to another Sweet 16. Like I said, it would have been nice if that last shot to send it into overtime would have won the game for Wisconsin, but give credit to Florida. And also Wisconsin, missing free throws, fundamentals. When you miss free throws, they come back to bite you, and that's what happened to Wisconsin. So Florida moved on, and now, and then in the Elite Eight, Gonzaga. And like I said, I could kick myself for not picking Gonzaga to go to the Final Four. I was just really high on Arizona. I said, I just don't see Gonzaga beating Arizona, and they didn't even get to play Arizona because Arizona was knocked out by Xavier. But Gonzaga, they destroyed Xavier, beating them 83-59. Nigel Williams-Gauss, he scored 23 points. Jonathan Williams, he had 19 points and 8 boards. They hit 12 of 24 threes. They were 12 of 24 from the three-point line, so their ability to knock down threes was definitely the difference in the basketball game. Offensively, they just could not be stopped. And great defense by Gonzaga as well, holding Xavier to 59 points. J.P. McCurry, he scored 18, but Trevon Blewett, he scored 10 points, but on 3 of 14 shooting. And when you're in an Elite Eight game like that, you need your best player, which is Trevon Blewett, to step his game up. He has to play at a high, high level. That did not happen, and Xavier was beaten very badly. Xavier shot just 36% from the field. They were 2 of 16 from 3. That's right, 2 of 16 from 3. Gonzaga just had too much length, too much athleticism, and also just their ability to knock down 3. They have a multiple amount of guys who can beat you from that 3-point line. If it's not Jordan Matthews, it could be Jonathan Williams. It could be that Silas Nelson. They have those bigs on the inside. And not to mention Nigel Williams-Gauss. I mean, my goodness, they have guys who can really knock down that 3-point shot, and they showed it against Xavier. I believe, on Saturday to advance to the Final Four. Mark Few's first ever Final Four. So I feel happy for him. Again, I don't want to hear about monkeys on people's backs, so that's silly. The man has done a great job at Gonzaga. He's been a consistent winner. That's the only thing that was missing off his resume was a lack of Final Four appearances, but now he has one, so he moves on to the Final Four. So congrats to all the Gonzaga and their fans, so they're moving on. Also in the Midwest, I was wrong on this one. I really thought coming to this tournament, I said, look, Kansas playing in Kansas City, that's like a home game. They're not losing in Kansas City. Wrong. Oregon, they thumped Kansas, beating them 74-60. Tyler Dorsey scored 27 points. He made all the big shots for Oregon down the stretch. Dylan Brooks, he scored 17 as well. Oregon shot 51% from the field. They hit 11 threes, so really efficient offensively. But the story was defense. The matchup zone gave Kansas fits. I mean, lots of trouble for Kansas trying to attack that matchup zone. And also, you have to talk about Jordan Bell. He had a double-double, 11 points, 13 rebounds, also 8 block shots. He blocked everything. Anything that was near him, he was blocking. My goodness, that was an impressive effort by Jordan Bell. He was getting all the rebounds, especially a lot of offensive rebounds, giving his team second-chance opportunities, and also the block shots. Those were demoralizing for Kansas. Now, the way Oregon ended the game was a little passive, to say the least. I'm probably a little kind in that. Oregon played not to win the game. They played not to lose. That was horrible. They gave Kansas every opportunity to get back in the game. Kansas just couldn't make a bucket. And some of that, obviously, you give a lot of credit to Oregon's defense, but some of that was just missing wide-open shots. But that being said, I mean, what in the world was Oregon doing? Just running down the clock and then throwing up a bad shot at the end of the clock, getting shot clock violations. That was awful. That was, if you want to see a video of how not to close a game out offensively, that showed that how Oregon finished the game against Kansas. I mean, that was horrible, okay? I know you want to run time off the clock, but what in the world was that? That was some horrible, I mean, for about a 4 or 5 minute stretch. I've never seen such horrible offense in my life. But Oregon did move on to the Final Four. For Kansas, Frank Mason scored 21 points, but he only scored 4 points in the second half. Josh Jackson, he never got into the flow of the game. He got into early foul trouble. He scored 10 points. He was not good. And Devontae Graham, he scored 3 points on 0-7 shooting. He missed all 6 of his threes. That's just horrible. If you had told me Devontae Graham would only score 3 points than me, I would have said, you're crazy. And that's what happened on Saturday night. They shot just 35% of the field. They were 5 of 25 from 3. So I really thought this was the year Kansas was going to get to the Final Four. They had it all set up. One of the first two games in Tulsa, the next two games in Kansas City, you were playing an Oregon team who was without their third best player, and you still lose. Oh, my goodness. That has to be heartbreaking for the Kansas fans. And like I said, I wasn't pleased because I picked Kansas to make it to the Final Four, and that did not happen. So there you go on that. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play some music from the Fast and Furious 6 soundtrack. Still cannot wait for the Fate of the Furious, which opens up next month. If anyone sees that, please let me know about it and let me know what cussing was said in the movie, because I definitely want to know about that. So we'll talk more about that. But anyway, we're going to play some music from the Fast and Furious 6 soundtrack. When we come back, we'll talk about the Elite 8 games that took place on Sunday. We'll do all that next on
Sean Khalid from Man. Don't change.
Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam. It's whatever we had to do, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's the life I chose. Gunshots in the dark, one eye closed. And we got it cooking like a one eye stove. You can catch me kissing my girl with both eyes closed. Yeah. Perfecting my passion, thanks for asking. Couldn't slow down, so we had to crash it. You use plastic, we bout cash. I see some people ahead that we gon' pass, yeah.
I never feared death or dying. I only fear never trying. I am whatever I am. Only God can judge me now. One shot, everything rides on tonight. Even if I've got three strikes, I'ma go for it. This moment, we own it. I'm not to be
And the same ones that I ride with be the same ones that I die with. Put it all out on the line with. If you're looking for me, you can find wit in the new car or the crown whip. My new broad does a fine chick in the weather squad. I'm
Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We can talk anything in world sports. You can talk college basketball. You can let me know about how your brackets did. I'm sure a lot of you got 3 out of 4 of your final four correct. Congratulations out there. So we can talk about that. Also, we can talk NBA. We can talk anything in the world of sports. Just call me up at 1-646-929-0429. I would love to hear from you. Let's talk about the Elite Eight game that took place on Sunday. South Carolina advances to their first ever Final Four. They beat Florida 77-70. Sendorius Thornwell, he scored 26 points. P.J. Dozier scored 17. Chris Silva had 13 points and 8 rebounds. And Mick Kosar, he scored 12 points. South Carolina shot 49% from the field, but obviously the story for South Carolina is their defense. Aggressive, is physical. And when you're allowed to be as physical at times as South Carolina is, man, they're really, really tough. Now, their defense is really good, even if I know sometimes they kind of they're a little too overly physical, but their defense is really good. I mean, they're always in the right spots. They help each other. They double-team in the post. You hardly ever get a really good wide-open look, especially in the second half. Their defense was really good in the second half. They did a great job in the second half of getting out to shooters because Florida hit 7 threes in the first half. In the second half, they were 0 of 14 from the three-point line in the second half. You have to give all the credit in the world to South Carolina. Florida had a couple of good looks. They just didn't knock them down. But that South Carolina defense is mean. I mean, my goodness, they get after you. I mean, especially when they play man-to-man, sometimes their zone, you can find some threes in that zone. Now, in the second half, they did a better job of extending the zone. That man-to-man defense is, it is big time. For Florida, Justin Leon scored 18 points, but Kayvon Allen, their best player, he only scored 13 points on 4 of 12 shooting, and Florida shot just 42% from the field. And also they had 16 turnovers. Again, you have to give all the credit in the world to South Carolina. You have to feel good for Frank Martin getting his team to the Final Four. You have to feel really good about that. So a great run there for South Carolina. Overcoming another halftime deficit, just like they did against my favorite team, the Duke Blue Devils, and also what they did against Baylor. Baylor never had the lead. Never mind. I think it was Marquette who had the lead, and also, again, against Florida. So South Carolina moves on. They'll play Gonzaga, and we'll talk about that a little bit coming up in a minute here. And also, then finally, instant classic on Sunday afternoon, North Carolina beat Kentucky 75-73. Luke May, he was a hero. He had a great game and a great shot, a great game-winning shot. He scored 17 points, including that game-winning shot with 0.3 seconds left. To me, is a buzzer beater. Justin Jackson scored 19. Joel Berry, he had 11. Kenny Meeks, he dominated on the boards. He had only 7 points, but 17 rebounds. What kept Kentucky in the game? North Carolina went there with about 6 or 7 minute stretch when they scored no points. Also, they were 3 of 15 from threes, and they had 16 turnovers. Give credit to the Kentucky defense. But the North Carolina defense was really good, especially on the perimeter. They did a great job of defending against Malik Monk and also De'Aaron Fox. So that was a great effort by them. And also North Carolina, another great finish for them. They finished the game on a 16-9 run. They were plus 10 on the glass. I thought it would be even worse than that, but they were still pretty dominant on the glass. For Kentucky, Bam Adebayo, he scored 13 points, had 7 rebounds. De'Aaron Fox, he had 13 points, but on 5 of 14 shooting. Malik Monk scored 12, but on 4 of 10 shooting. He hit that three tie the game with 7.2 seconds left. What a big time shot that was! He had a couple big time shots late, but he struggled for most of the game. Isaiah Humphries had 12 points as well for Kentucky. And if you're a Kentucky fan, you have to feel great about the team's defensive effort. If you had told me they would hold UCLA and North Carolina both to 75 points, I would have said wow. And that's what happened. They held UCLA, two of the better offenses in college basketball, to 75 points. They put themselves in a position to win, but give credit to North Carolina. They didn't panic after that Malik Monk three. They went down the court, got a really good look for Luke May, and he knocked it down. What a big-time shot by Luke May. Also, Kentucky missed 7 free throws. That was critical as well. That could have been the difference in the basketball game as well. So a solid season for Kentucky. I'm sure they'll have another great recruiting class, but North Carolina moves on. Their redemption tour continues as they advance to another Final Four, trying to win a title after losing, after how they lost in a heartbreaking fashion to Villanova. Now, I know as a Duke fan, I'm not supposed to be rooting for North Carolina, but I'm not a hater. That's the only Final Four team that I got correct, so at least I got one. That was not up to my standards, though, but it's better than 0 teams in the Final Four. And I had North Carolina on this bracket that I did on the radio going to the title game, so they'll play Oregon. We'll give you a big preview of that on my next show on Friday, God's will. But a quick look, it's going to be interesting to see how Oregon handles the size of North Carolina. Can Jordan Bell stay out of foul trouble? That would be the utmost critical point for Oregon. He cannot get into foul trouble, because if he does, North Carolina will really dominate on the glass. They might dominate anyway, but without him, Oregon's really going to struggle to defend. You know, if it's close, Tyler Dorsey and Dylan Brooks are going to make big shots if it's close. But my issue is, can they keep North Carolina off the glass? And North Carolina has guards who can defend Dylan Brooks and also Tyler Dorsey Justin Jackson, he's a bigger guard, and also Theo Pinson. He's another guy who's going to be key in that perimeter defense for North Carolina, so that's going to be interesting. Then we have South Carolina taking on Gonzaga. I know South Carolina is hot right now. Give a shout-out to Kelly in Vegas. She was telling me it's going to be hard for her to pick against South Carolina. They're hot right now, and I have to give her props. She's been on fire lately picking games. But that being said, Gonzaga, to me, is just so balanced. They can do it defensively as well. They're top 20 in both offense and defensive efficiency. So, oh man, it's going to be tough for me to pick against Gonzaga. Let's just say that. I know South Carolina has improved offensively in their defense. Like I said, that man-to-man defense is mean, but Gonzaga can really knock down those threes. And you can get some open looks. They can hit tough contested threes. They can hit wide open threes. So we shall wait and see. We'll definitely give you more of a preview on that matchup on Friday. But right now, we're going to take another quick break. We're going to listen to some music from the Jackson 5. When we come back, we'll talk the weekend that was in the NBA. We'll do all that next on Moose Sports Talk. Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. It is not too late. But let's talk about the weekend that was in the NBA. Let's talk about some of the marquee games that took place this weekend. On Friday night, the Cavaliers, they beat the Hornets 112-105. LeBron James almost had a triple-double. He had 32 points, 11 assists, and 9 rebounds. Kyrie Irving, he had 26 points and 7 assists. Kevin Love had a double-double, 15 points and 12 rebounds. They shot 55%, and they had 26 assists. Better ball movement for the Cavaliers. Also, Kemba Walker, he scored 28, but they shot the Charlotte Hornets shot just 42% from the field. They were 10 of 34 from the three-point line. So better defense for the Cavs, but the defense definitely needs to improve. We'll talk more about Cleveland in a minute. Also on Friday night, the Celtics, they beat the Suns 130-120. 5 Celtics were in double figures, led by Isaiah Thomas, who scored 34 points and had 7 assists. They hit 14 threes and had 31 assists. They're trying to catch the Cavs with the best record in the East. We'll see. They're right on their heels, so we'll see if they can catch him. But Devin Booker, he was a story. He dropped 70 points. That's right, 70 points on the Boston Celtics on 21 of 40 shooting. So he was really efficient and dropping 70 points. Very impressive for the young guy. Yes, but Suns, they shot just 6 of 19 from threes as a team, so that was difference in the game, but what a performance there by Devin Booker. And then on Saturday, the Clippers, they did beat the Jazz 108-95. Six Clippers were in double figures. This could be a first round preview, by the way. They're both, I believe, the Jazz right now would be the fourth seed in the West. The Clippers would be the fifth seed. So this could be a preview, which the Clippers have really owned the Jazz. Jamal Crawford, he scored 28 points off the bench. Blake Griffin has 15 points and 6 rebounds. They were the more aggressive team. They were 25 of 28 from the free throw line. The Jazz had only 18 attempts, so that was a big difference. Anytime you make more free throws than the other team attempts, that is a big stat there in basketball. Also, Rudy Gobert, he had 26 points and 14 boards, but Jazz shot just 43% from the field, so that was a nice win there for the Clippers, even though they had a bad loss to the Kings on Sunday, by the way. So that was an awful loss when they were up by how many ever, what, 15 points late, and they lose the game. Horrible loss. And then also on Saturday, the Wizards, they rolled the Cavs in Cleveland 127-115. Eight Wizards were in double figures. John Wall, he had 37 points and 11 assists. Bradley Beal scored 27 points. The backcourt just really dominated. They shot 60% from the field. The Cavaliers really are having a lot of defensive issues right now. You cannot give up 60% shooting on your home court. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. And you give up 127 points on your home court. They really need to turn around defensively. You know they're going to score. The Cavs are going to score, especially when they're 100% healthy. They're going to score baskets. I mean, they're going to score a lot of points. But the defense, they're going to have to pick it up defensively. They're not winning the title playing defense like they're playing right now, like they've played the last couple of games. LeBron James, he scored 24 points, had 11 rebounds and 8 assists. Kyrie Irving scored 23 points, but they shot just 49% of the field, but they were out-rebounded by 8 by the Wizards. They were only 12 of 33 from threes, so they didn't knock down enough threes. They took a lot of threes and didn't knock very many down. But the key for the Cavaliers going forward is defense. They have to pick it up defensively. They have a big game tonight against the Spurs in San Antonio. They're gonna have to bring that defensive effort. I believe they also play Houston this week as well, so it's a big week for the Cavs. They're going to have to bring it defensively if they're going to hold on to first place the East. Now, they've proven they can win on the road. It might not matter, but obviously you want the number one seed, so we'll see if they can hold on to that number one seed. Now, on Sunday, Houston, they dominate Oklahoma City. Another could be a preview, a playoff preview. Houston dominated Oklahoma City 137-125. James Harden, he scored 22 points on 8 of 15 shooting. He also had 12 assists. He did turn the ball over 5 times. But Lou Williams, he scored 31 points off the bench. Eric Gordon added 24. Trevor Ariza also had 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. They shot 63% from the field, and they hit 20 of 39 threes. They also had 32 assists as well. Great ball movement from the Houston Rockets. For Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook, he had another triple-double, his 36th of the season, and I still think he's the he's my pick to win the MVP. If he averages a triple-double, and Oklahoma City makes the playoffs, by the way. He scored 39 points on 13-24 shooting. He also had 13 assists, 5 turnovers as well, but 11 rebounds, so pretty efficient for Westbrook. Enes Kanter had 23 points, but only 4 boards. You need more boards from Kanter. But that wasn't the issue for Oklahoma City. The offense was okay. They shot 50% from the field. That's really good. They scored 125. That's good. They attempted too many threes, in my opinion. They attempted 30. That's too many. But the defense, how in the world are you going to give up 63% shooting and 137 points and 20 threes? And don't forget, Houston was without Ryan Anderson, who's arguably one of their better three-point shooters. What if he had played, would it have been 150 to 130 or something? That's ridiculous. Oklahoma City has to bring the energy and effort defensively. I know defense is about communication. It's about talent. Defense is more about energy and effort, and Oklahoma City did not bring that energy and effort that they needed on Sunday. I was thinking about picking Oklahoma City to beat Houston in a potential playoff series. I won't be doing that if Oklahoma City plays that kind of defense. No way, no way. Not going to happen. You're not going to beat Houston playing that kind of Matadors defense. I mean, what kind of 63% shooting? I mean, I don't even think I can shoot 63% of by myself, just in a court by myself, you know? So that is absolutely ridiculous. They have to bring that energy, that effort defensively. We'll see if they can do that. And also on Sunday, the Warriors, they did beat Memphis 106-94. Klay Thompson scored 31 points. He hit 7 threes. Steph Curry scored 21. He hit another 5 threes. They hit 17 threes as a team. The Warriors are starting to get it heated. They obviously need a healthy Durant, but they're starting to get it heat up, so watch out for the Warriors. But thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget, my next show will be Friday at 5:30 Central Time, God's will. We'll talk. We'll break down. We'll give you a preview of the Final Four. We'll also talk about all the big games that will take place this week in the NBA. So have a blessed rest of your week. God is good. Trust in him. And we'll talk to you next time on Moose Sports Talk.